Welcome to Eltel and John's La Liga Weekly. Congratulations to Valencia. Remember them, the team that actually won the Copa del Rey. 4 points off relegation at the halfway stage to Champions League qualifiers and winners of their first trophy since 2008. They did finish 26 points below Barcelona, who are, just checking, managed by Ernesto Valverde, who made three terrible errors this season. Losing the Copa del Rey final, losing at Anfield, and winning the league far too early. If you do get another chance, Ernesto, I'd recommend a dramatic last-day victory snatched in the jaws of defeat. But that would involve Real Madrid being better. We'll get to our best and worst of La Liga later, with a surprising victory for grown men dressing up in full kit to watch the TV and not make up their minds about penalties. Apparently VAR is good for something. Unfortunately, not everyone gets to see what they want on the TV. Okay, we didn't used to be able to watch cup finals from around the world, but then they invented the technology to make it easy, and we loved it. Then some greedy pig realised they could make more money by stopping us watching stuff, for example, the Copa del Rey final. So if you want to know what happened between the 35th and the 42nd minutes, I can't help. And if my wife asks why all that dodgy stuff is on the computer, then it was the Copa del Rey final and nothing else. Just the football. Thankfully, now all that football is out of the way, we can get on to the real business of transfer speculation, which means Manchester United being linked with players who have no intention of going there. I use a similar move when I go to the bar, just after I've checked that everybody's got a full glass. Anyone fancy a De Ligt? Oh, what a shame. Better luck next time. So, Terry, there we are. So, we didn't get together to watch the Copa del Rey final together. But by hook or by crook, you've seen it. So what do you make of it? I mean, let's talk Valencia. Let's be positive, shall we? Because, you know, they actually won it, didn't they? I know if you went on social media, it was all about Barcelona's shortcomings. But, you know, Valencia, they had a game plan. They played to their strengths. They won the Copa del Rey. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think as we've seen, the season has gone on. They had a dreadful first half of the season. We know the story now that in the penultimate week of the La Liga campaign, that's the first time they've reached the top four. They finished off in Champions League position. And I think that the story of the season has to be when they show perseverance and patience with Marcelino, because around Christmas time, just after Christmas, there was a real threat that he was going to lose his job. They were drawing too many games. They weren't good to watch. He wasn't sure of his tactical system. He was confused with the issue of having to play Champions League games and falling into the Europa League. But as the season went on, I think life became a little bit more clearer at Valencia in terms of his strategy, because they desperately needed to win games, to climb up the table, to do well in the Europa League. And he was a bit more ambitious in terms of his tactics, and it paid off. They were a much better team in the second half of the season. And in the first half of the game last night, they were a much better team than Barcelona. And the damage was done for Barcelona in the first 45 minutes. And it was a game plan that worked extremely well for Valencia. He played his best tactics, pretty much his best team as well. And I have no doubt, you know, apart from a scary last 20 minutes for Valencia, when Barcelona, of course, were throwing everything at it after Messi got the goal back. But I have no doubt that Valencia fully deserved the victory over the 90 minutes last night.
Neil says, best management direction, director decision of the season, Valencia not sacking Marcelino. Taj says, I'm expecting Terry Gibson to give a two-minute appreciation of Rodrigo after slagging him off a couple of weeks ago. Did you? For the good of Spanish football, was Valencia's win warranted?
Yeah, no, I'm not so sure I've ever slagged Rodrigo off. I think it's fair to say, and I still think, that he has disappointed this season. I saw Ted's tweet in regards to the question, and I looked, and he's got 8 league goals in 33 appearances, 5 in the Copa del Rey, which is a good return, none in the Champions League in those group games, none in 6, and 2 in the Europa League. So I think for a player like Rodrigo, we know he's capable because of his quality, because of his ability, because of his past record at Valencia. I think 8 league goals is a disappointing return. And hopefully, I think he was one of the bigger reasons why Valencia struggled in the first half of the season. He wasn't scoring goals. Gamero wasn't scoring goals. The team were finding it hard to create chances, in fairness to the strikers. But I've no doubt he's a quality player. He deserves to be in the Spain squad. And it was pleasing to see him get the second goal last night. When Valencia are playing well, they rely on, like any team, if your strikers are playing well and they're scoring goals, then you have chances of winning football matches. And that's what Valencia have done in the second half of the season. Their attackers have been better. Guedes and Soler have improved massively in the second half of the season. And I think Rodrigo falls into that category. He's finished the season brightly, and I think he's a really good player.
Right, shall we get down to the grubby business? Ernesto Valverde. I did a little poll. Now, so this is people on Twitter. So, you know, there we are. But a lot of these are our regular correspondents who know their Spanish football. A lot of them are big Barcelona fans. So about 2/3 of people, 66%, said he should go. Whether he will go was almost 50-50, 51-49. So nothing in it as to whether people think he will go. The big question that we're asked repeatedly is, for example, David Williams says, were there an outstanding candidate to take the reins? It might be a different story. Too soon for Xavi. Stefan, do you think the current Ajax manager would be a good fit for Barca? He plays a style of football, a similar vein to Barca, but with limited resources. And there are, Paul is asking about Setien or jump straight to Xavi. So Xavi is the name that comes up most. But there must be a dozen people all saying, if they get rid of Valverde, what would they do? So where do we stand? Valverde in, Valverde out? And if he's out, where do they go?
Well, I think the name that keeps getting mentioned is Xavi. Now, it's an interesting dilemma because I think it's clear he's going to be Barcelona manager one day and pretty soon, I think. Now, I think the issue here is if they were to sack Valverde and bring somebody else in, that means we've probably been looking at, well, you'd imagine a two-year period, where two-season period where the next manager is going to get time next season. I assume Barcelona will do pretty well with whoever's in charge next season. They'll be there or thereabouts. It'd be extreme to believe that a manager comes in and messes up everything completely and is sacked before the end of the season, purely based on how far ahead they were than Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid and what those two clubs, those issues are going to occur during the summer. So I think Barcelona domestically in a good place. Now, it might be a case in point that they think, let's believe Xavi is possibly going to be starting some sort of coaching career in the Middle East just to learn the ropes slightly. So we might be looking at a year him doing that, and then next the following season, then he might be ready to be the manager of Barcelona. Now, I know Pep jumped into it, but he had the B team. I know Zidane jumped into it at Real Madrid, but he had the B team. So I think it's a case in point that it's the timing has to be right for Xavi. Is it now? Probably not. So do they stick with Valverde until the time is right? That it must be somewhere in their thinking that they're thinking of a timescale of when Xavi can be qualified. He gets his badges completed. He will be officially qualified to be manager of Barcelona. But he's going to need some sort of coaching experience. I think everybody knows that he was a highly intelligent footballer. And what's more important is that the more I've seen Barcelona this season, it's right at this time of the year, this time of the season, to actually judge it as a whole. We make, you know, weekly calls on how good they are, but I think we have to genuinely wait until the end of the season to see how good Barcelona have been. Clear they've been far better than Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, that's clear. The issue was, have they been that good, or have they made the great strides in terms of winning the league comfortably because of the failure of the other two? Possibly that's the biggest reason, I think. And what I see from Barcelona now is a team that's been really consistent again this season. They know how to win the league. They might have games here and there which are harder for them to win than others, or they make harder to win, but they somehow don't get beat. They get the 3 points. They snatch a draw. And I think the big issue is, in my opinion now, the season as a whole is under Valverde. And it's hard to be too critical, but they don't have any resemblance at the moment to the great Barcelona teams we've seen in the past. So in terms of dominating possession, the tactical skills of outnumbering opponents in different areas of the pitch to make sure they get into goal-scoring positions, getting the best out of Messi in terms of what they're doing now is just relying purely on Messi. And if you look at the injuries in the cup final, that damaged them. No Suarez, no Dembele. it was kind of a makeshift team, some unfamiliar names on the bench, options to change were limited for Valverde, but it was a difficult game for him last night, a couple of important players missing. But I think there needs to be a look. So Xavi coming back at some stage to get that style of Barcelona back, I think it's a must, but it's just getting the timing right. So do they put up with Valverde till Xavi's ready, or do they make a change and delay the appointment of Xavi, or do they blow everyone away and appoint Xavi now with no experience as a manager in order to get the Barcelona style back? It looks like they're going to be signing some really good players in the summer. De Jong is already one of them. They're talking De Ligt and Griezmann, of course. So although it would be a really big ask for Xavi to step in now, there are harder jobs in football. It comes with different pressures, but it would be easier for Xavi to take over at Barcelona next season than it would be to take over Osasuna or who have come up, or maybe Granada are coming up, and they'd be battling against it every week to try and get sufficient points to stay up. So it's going to be a big call. I think Xavi's the only replacement, if I'm being perfectly honest, but they have to get the timing right.
Yeah, because I'm wondering what he would learn by a year managing in Qatar or something that he wouldn't learn by going to Barcelona. And if, as you say, and I agree with you, that they're in a much stronger position than Atletico or Real Madrid at the moment, they'd still be favourites to win the league with Xavi involved, wouldn't they? So you might be saying that you might almost be writing off a season in the Champions League, but why, if that's where you want to go, if that's where you want to be in 2 years' time, why not go there now? You know, why wait? Why stick with Valverde, or why look around? I can't see an experienced coach that is... Well, I can see Allegri, but he doesn't really improve anything. He doesn't knock it on anywhere, does he? So why not wait? So why wait? Why not just get on with Xavi now?
Yep, no, I agree totally. I think he's sensible enough, intelligent enough to know what is needed. He will make mistakes. I think that it would please players at the club. And I think, importantly, the most important issue is Barcelona need to get their style back. I mean, what we're seeing now is 4-4-2, 4-1, 4-1 last night, but Valverde's hand was pretty much forced by the choices he had available. But I think in order for Barcelona to get their style back, the next manager has to be someone who pretty much just knows the Barcelona way, that can preach to the players, to preach to the new players, young players, if De Ligt comes, De Jong, impressionable. Arta is impressionable. So then you've got the older players that Xavi played alongside, Messi, Pique, Busquets. They will respond to Xavi coming in. So he would make mistakes, but I think he's wise enough to know that, and wise enough to know that he's got a team that, for three quarters of the season, are going to be favourites in every game they go into. And it's just a question of how he fares making big decisions in big games. But I certainly think it's... would I go as far to say it would be the right choice? Yeah, I would. I'd go for it now if I was Barcelona.
A couple of questions. I think you've already answered these, actually. Zalito, has Barca gone away from playing good football to solely relying on getting results? And Hayden, what was the last team so reliant on a single player that achieved sustained success? So I think you've answered those, haven't you? That they are lacking a side at the moment. Here's the big question for Xavi, for Valverde, for anybody. Danny, do you still think that Busquets is a key player for this team? Personally, he says, I don't think so. He was always slow, but now he's a liability, especially against a dynamic team. And Omar, Jordi Alba only plays for Messi, so De Barça need another left-back. Busquets and Suarez need to be replaced immediately, but Barça are too afraid to wield the axe. So the big question, say if Xavi comes in and you're trying to play that Barcelona style, is Busquets still physically equipped to play that? Is he still the key player for them?
Yeah, no, I have an issue about Busquets, because I think up until the Liverpool game, I think he was having a really good season. And I would say that with Pique as well. And then the case of losing to Liverpool in the manner that they did in the second leg, and Busquets was poor. He had a poor game recently at home, and he got booed by the crowd. And he wasn't particularly great yesterday. He was no worse than some of the other players. So I think we have to look at it with an element of the bigger picture. The majority of this season, I think Busquets has been excellent. If Xavi's manager, I guarantee you, John, Busquets will be there and will be an important player for Barcelona in the style that Xavi would want to play. So I think we have to, players are allowed to have bad games. I don't think Busquets has had a bad season. A couple of big games he suffered in. But I think in general, he's still got a lot to offer Barcelona. Perhaps, if I'm being brutally honest, they need another player to take the place of Rakitic and someone who's younger and more mobile. De Jong fits the bill perfectly. So I think if Busquets, when you imagine Busquets playing as that holding midfield player, yes, he was younger alongside Xavi and Iniesta. Yes, he was new to the team and he was a little bit more mobile than he is now. But it certainly helped by having Xavi and Iniesta moving the ball about, Barcelona dominating possession, where Busquets will struggle when Barcelona don't dominate possession. And he's having to win the ball back a lot more than he used to. So in terms of Barcelona playing out the back, playing in the manner that we associate them with, Busquets, I guarantee you under Xavi, will still be really important. So I think it's just getting the right blend in front of him with maybe more mobile, dynamic midfield players to allow him to do what he does best. And that's not running around the pitch, chasing, winning the ball back. It's positional play. It's being brave in possession when not many players want the ball in his situation. He's facing his own goal. He knows players are going to be closing him down. He can move the ball out quickly. And all of a sudden, Barcelona have gone from the defensive position into midfield, into space. They can try and find the likes of Messi. So I think Busquets is still important. And we shouldn't write him off too early. I still think he's got a lot to offer Barcelona.
Another deep breath required, Terry. I deflect this question. We get loads of questions about this every week and I deflect them. Cameron, what did Coutinho actually do in the Valencia game except a few step-overs that didn't fool anybody? And Saad says, why doesn't Valverde trust Coutinho enough to play in the midfield? So that's as positive as anyone is about Coutinho, I'm afraid. Other than that, there's lots of people giving him a hard time. It's hard to make a case, isn't it, for Coutinho at the moment?
I can't make any case, John. I think in a game like last night where you were missing Suarez, where you were missing Dembele, the team was slightly off balance in terms of the fact that Messi was the only out-and-out striker. And players like Coutinho need to step up. We've seen, he's proved, he's got the ability. We've seen that with Liverpool. Have we seen it with Barcelona? Not nowhere near often enough. And there's been a deterioration in his performance levels. The question about playing in midfield, Valverde tried that. It didn't work. Artur came into the team because Coutinho was ineffective in midfield and Artur was better. So then it was a straight choice between Dembele and Coutinho. Dembele was winning that competition as well. But it's only because of Dembele's injury that Coutinho has got himself back into the team. But I think if Dembele had stayed fit, Artur's performances have dropped off a touch as well. But I think if Dembele had stayed fit, then I don't think we'd be seeing as much of Coutinho as we have done in recent weeks. What I always feel, there's always a tendency from Valverde to try and play him. I think the Liverpool second leg was the perfect opportunity to have left him out, just to have played Messi and Suarez up front, to play an extra midfield player, to use the reason that it was for tactical basis, which probably would have been wiser. But Trent Alexander-Arnold just raced up and down that flank against no opposition from Coutinho and the fact that Jordi Alba had one of his worst games in a Barcelona shirt. So I can't see where you would fit Coutinho into a team now. But I can still see a return, and Barcelona still getting a good return on their money based on what he did before he went to Barcelona. They're not going to get all their money back, of course. But I think there's still enough teams around that believe that I think I've made the point before. When you go to Barcelona as a new player, you have to fit in perfectly and really quickly. It's quite simple in terms of what you do when you're on the ball. The first pass you see, move the ball on as quickly as you can. Or you come in and make a complete difference. You're something different, like Paulinho was last season, like Arturo Vidal is this season. But Coutinho, it doesn't offer anything different and he doesn't fit into the style. So I think that's the problem for Barcelona. So I think I imagine he is one of the biggest issues that they're going to have to deal with this summer in terms of moving him on.
Last question then on the Copa final, which is from Scott. Why did I have to use Stoke's owners to watch the Copa final? Not even on 11 Sports, who Never. Oh, right. Okay. Well, they'll have to take this up with them. I don't think he's had his refund for his when they dropped the Serie A when they didn't have that anymore. I contacted 11. We've got a hotline that you all haven't got, and they basically said that the Spanish FA was charging a fortune. They couldn't pay it. Sky used to say the same as well. Sky didn't always pay for the Copa del Rey final, if you remember. It's so annoying, isn't it, Terry, that we've got used to watching it. I know, like I said in the intro, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't watch foreign finals, but now we can. The technology exists, and it's just people being pig-headed and not coming to agreements over it. So we're all scrabbling around the world trying to watch it. Someone contacted me to say they can't watch it at all in Australia. I don't know if that's always the case or across the globe, but it's really disappointing. It's dispiriting, isn't it, that they can't sort out their TV deals. In the UK, they haven't sorted out the TV deal for next season yet, and that's just, it's extraordinary, isn't it, at the end of May.
It is, and I think Spanish football in the UK, that's all we can refer to, is it needs a home again, doesn't it? This season I've been fortunate enough to work for 11 Sports before Christmas, and then ITV since the new year. So, but it's people need to know that's where it is, that's where it's always going to be, at least for a season or two. I mean, we've always been used to three-season deals when Sky got the rights to show La Liga. Obviously, that was over a 20-odd-year period. So people knew where home, you know, La Liga, the home of La Liga was going to be. It somehow needs to get that back. It needs to be addressed. I looked at the fixture last night, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking it's the perfect time kickoff on a Saturday evening. It was going to be in an atmospheric stadium. It was between two really good teams as well. There would have been a lot of people interested in watching that last night, even if they hadn't watched Spanish football all season or don't watch it every week, just to put your feet up, switch into a bit of Spanish culture. It was hot. The game needed a cooling break. The stadium was packed to capacity. Some outstanding footballers, the world's best footballer. It was perfect for television viewers on a Saturday evening. But unfortunately for us in the UK, we weren't able to see it legitimately. So we had to all put up with finding it where we could. And you know, it is frustrating. It's frustrating. And I must admit, I was still looking yesterday during the day just to check in case someone had made a last minute bid or La Liga or the Spanish Federation had given it to someone just to show, because they're missing out. You know, yeah. Spanish football Spanish football is missing out on not having, you know, the promotion of that game last night, because no one's been promoting it because no one's got the rights to show it. So it's barely been talked about. And it was a big game. Everyone was looking to see the response of Barcelona after the Liverpool game. But it wasn't to be. So hopefully, I'm led to believe there's a new contract up next season. So we'll have to wait and see. And hopefully it's going to be back on television next season in this country. But I've got my fingers crossed. I'm not banking on it. With the way that the TV rights deals have gone in the past, I'm just hoping that we don't have a complete blanket, you know, ban on it next season. It's not on any television station in the UK and we're having to find it on streams throughout the season on a regular basis.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Anyway, I need a cooling break, Terry. Let's do that, and then we'll come back and talk transfers and our good and bad of La Liga poll. Right, welcome back. Thank you for everybody who took part in our little poll. I stuck it on Twitter, and so my Twitter, which is... what's my Twitter? Driscoll FC, and also our shared one at La Liga Weekly _ Weekly. So it was the five best things, the five worst things about La Liga this season. Are we going to be positive or negative, Terry? Do you want the good or the bad?
Go with the bad first, get that over with, and then finish on a high note.
Okay, well, let's go from the top. So the biggest one, no title race, which is, I can see that. So that was the biggest mention. Second biggest mention, Real Madrid, I'm afraid to say. And again, not massively contentious, was it?
They've made my top five.
Yeah, so I'll rattle through them. So the UK TV situation, which has already been mentioned. Barca fans on social media get a mention. Sorry, Barca fans. Betis get a mention. No Cristiano Ronaldo. Sevilla get a mention. Celta Vigo. Chaos with kickoff times. So and then from there, Coutinho. Sorry, Philippe. Sisto, Diego Costa. Poor performance in Europe, the plan to play games in the USA, the TV ads, so it's not football, it's La Liga, gets a specific mention. if you could sort that out for us, Terry, that would be good. Clickbait Indian Tech, Barca news accounts, I like that one. People hating Busquets, 11 Sports, ooh, sorry about that. Decline in quality at the top of La Liga, an aging Atletico squad, Messi injury. Wasn't out for long though, was he? And Iniesta. So they're the downsides. What have you got in your? Did you do five? Have you got five downsides of La Liga this year?
I have. I've done three teams. Real Madrid, of course, Villarreal, and Real Betis. Yeah. I've gone for TV rights.
Yeah.
I've gone for Diego Costa as well.
Okay. Yeah.
16 appearances in La Liga, 2 goals. A, it's not enough appearances, not enough goals. He got 5 goals in total for the whole season, and 2 of those were in the Super Cup before the season started. He's had 7 games suspended this year, so it's been a disaster for Costa. It's been a disaster so far for Atletico Madrid, so that's why I put him in. And I've gone for one that nobody else has mentioned in terms of the worst thing I saw this season out on the pitch. Was the pitch, and it was Valladolid's pitch against Barcelona early in the campaign, where I've never seen a game of football played on a pitch so disastrously. It was just, do you remember, it was so ridiculous. The game kicked off, I was commentating on the game, and someone passed the ball back from, I'm guessing Messi or Suarez, back to Pique, and it rolled in about 5 different directions before coming to a stop when it wanted to. And I just thought, that didn't look right. And that was just the ball rolling on the pitch. And then literally within a minute or so, you saw someone change direction and a 6x4-foot lump of turf came up. And from then on, it was just, it was treacherous. It was, if I'm being honest, it should have been cancelled. The game should have been abandoned. Thankfully, Barcelona won. And I don't mean that as a thinking that people were thinking, you know, I'm a Barcelona fan, but it was Barcelona won and it wasn't catastrophic. If they'd have lost or they'd drawn, then that would have been an issue right throughout the season. If we'd had a title race and it had come down to a point or two, then Barcelona had lost that on that pitch, it would have been an issue. And thankfully, no disaster for Valladolid, who did well to stay up. So that's the one I've got in that nobody else has mentioned. But I've gone Villarreal, Real Madrid, Betis in terms of the three teams. I agree with the TV rights. We've spoken about that. Diego Costa. But I've thrown in the newly laid pitch at Valladolid for the game early in the season against Barcelona.
Okay, shall I give you mine? I'll go... So I've got the European performances, which has already been mentioned. I've got the UK TV shambles. Now I've got another one that no one's mentioned as well: empty seats in the stadiums. Now it's not massively down on last season, but it's ever so slightly down. I just don't think. I think it's an ongoing issue for La Liga that they need to address. I think they need to make the process of buying tickets more fan friendly and just get more people sitting there in the stadium, making noise and supporting their team. So I think that's I love Spanish football. I wish they'd look after their fans just a little bit better. I've got Real Madrid in there. And the other one I've got in there is VAR delays. I just think they need to speed up. I think there are too many games where you sit in there watch and it takes the sting out of a goal, takes the fun away from a goal because you're sitting there 4 minutes and you know the outcome. However, that takes us on to the positives. And VAR wins, Terry. VAR... So people like it in general. I can't yet get over them. I just think they just need to get better at it. I wouldn't say scrap it. I'd say use it, keep on using it, and get better at using it. So shall I do you the rest, and then you can give us yours. So what else gets mentioned? Messi gets a load of mentions. So Messi and VAR, and then very kindly, everybody, thank you very much. Our podcast. Hey, well done.
Awesome.
Yeah. Barca winning the league, obviously Barcelona fans. And then after that, Aspas gets a mention, Valencia's revival, Getafe, of course. Espanyol, very positive. Young players coming through, that's a good one. The performance of the small clubs. Now, again, I had that because I enjoyed watching Huesca play. I enjoyed watching Rayo Vallecano play. The relegation battle gets a mention. The battle for European places, the strength and depth of La Liga. The renaissance of some older players. Dani Parejo gets a mention. Tebas calling out the Super League gets a mention. Yeah, good for that one. Quique Setién. So this was on the bad and the good, Quique Setién and Betis' performance against big teams. El Clásico gets a mention. Barca's pink kit gets a mention. Lo Celso gets a mention. La Liga TV, which is a good point because we've been critical of the situation, the rights situation, but it has meant that by 11 Sports, we've got to see the magazine programming that we haven't previously seen in the UK. And so that's been enjoyable, you know, not just you, but, you know, the other guys who, the experts and the journos that they use on there. So that's been a real positive. And then rather biased from Barca fans, again, Real Madrid's performances have been as a positive. So what have you got on your positive list?
Well, it's quite similar. I've gone with VAR. I see it ultimately as a positive. I saw Monchi came out with a really good idea about the how long it takes decisions to be made, and in reference to how long is added on at the end of the game. And he's come up with a solution: just stop the clock.
Yeah.
When the VAR is taking its time, just stop the play clock. That's really sensible. So it does need tinkering. But I think by and large, it's made a big deal. I look at Premier League games now, and I see a goal offside. I think, or games in the UK, and I think, oh, it's going to be referred to VAR. And of course, they haven't had it yet. And the goals are allowed, or they're disallowed when they're not offside. And you think, so we've eradicated that in La Liga, 99%. There's still one or two, must admit, one or two goals have been scored this season where I've not been convinced the decision was correct in terms of the offside. It's not perfect, but I think it's gone a long way to making things better. I went with Getafe in terms of the almost qualifying for the Champions League. I went with Messi in two games in particular, the two trips to the city of Seville, where he scored a hat-trick against Sevilla, and then three games later then scored a hat-trick against Betis. It wasn't just the hat-trick, it was the quality of both of those hat-tricks. So it was incredible goals from Lionel Messi. I've gone from the game of the season, which was the Villarreal Barcelona 4-4 draw. And that was dramatic in terms of Barcelona were trying to win the league, coming back into the game with two goals practically in the last minute, Messi and Suarez scoring spectacular goals to deny Villarreal. And also another game in particular I've gone for was Atletico beating Athletic Bilbao 3-2. And I picked this because it's a player that's leaving La Liga now. And it was Diego Godin. It was pretty early in the season. I've got it down as week 12. Atletico had used all their subs. He was injured. And he was severely hobbling around with a hamstring, I think it was. And because they'd used their three subs, he chose, and not all players choose to stay on the pitch, he chose to stay on but was going to hobble around up front. And then he throws himself full length for a diving header from a knockdown from a corner in the last minutes of the game, and Atletico win the game 3-2. That pretty much sums up Diego Godin the whole time he's been in La Liga. So they've been my high points: the Getafe VAR, the two hat-tricks from Messi, the Villarreal Barca game, and Diego Godin's dramatic winner against Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah, good shout. So I'll give you my five. I've got Messi top. I've got Getafe finishing fifth, which is quite a specific thing because I didn't really want them to finish fourth. But I've been hugely impressed with them, so I'm glad they finished fifth. I've got the strength in depth that I mentioned as well. Santi Cazorla being fit, playing the whole season, playing it as well as he has, and then Chimi Avila's goals. So the two extraordinary goals that he scored this season. It's just, it's not a guy who's going to go for 70 million quid or anything. But, it's just, you know, that strength, it's related to the strength in depth, I guess, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's terrific to see good quality players all the way down the league in La Liga. It comes back. Just need a stronger Real Madrid is what we need, really, because then, you know, that would then force Barcelona to raise their game and all of that. Should we do a bit of transfers as well? People are interested in this. Gavin is one of your lot, Terry. He's a Spurs fan. Which La Liga players can you see joining Spurs? And you think Eriksen will be joining Real Madrid? Obviously, I mean, Lo Celso has been linked in the newspapers. We haven't got any independent verification of that. But they've already bought him, haven't they, Lo Celso? He was on loan, wasn't he? And they've just exercised the right to buy him. And then now they're looking immediately at selling him on, which financial reality, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they got him for just over 20 or 23 million euros, I think. And they had the first refusal on that. It's something they're always going to do because we know in the current transfer market, all you needed to do was find a team that would play him on a regular basis. We've seen how talented he is. And Betis, you can't blame them. It would be ideal. Perhaps if they'd got into Europe, got into the Champions League, they would have been in a position to keep him. I'm not saying they're not. I don't know anything more than I've read in the papers. But I have read that they are looking at maybe clubs being interested, maybe around 40, 50, 60 million euros. So if that's the case, I'm not entirely sure he's worth that amount of money. But if that is the case, then I would understand Betis. It's a big investment for them in the first place. So if they can make a huge profit on it quickly, it wouldn't surprise me that he would move on now.
Yes. Yeah, you can see that, can't you? Who else would you want to... Actually, well, there's another one here. Ollie says, are there any players from La Liga that Madrid should be going for? Interesting point, isn't it? Because obviously they get linked to huge names abroad, but are there any closer to home who would be a likely starter and who they could get? And Noir Confidential, with so many big clubs in need of a squad rehaul around Europe, he means, which would be the biggest in or out of La Liga? Which actually, you might as well give us your team of the season while you're on, because that's the big clue, isn't it, as to who the strongest players around are. So, what have you got for your best 11?
Well, I've stuck to our normal rule where we're only allowed one player per club.
Yep.
Otherwise, we end up with 9 Barcelona players and 2 from this club, and that's it. So,
yeah,
I've stuck to our rule
not so much this season.
One per club. No, I know I've got a Real Madrid player in it.
Right, okay,
for instance, so I've gone with Oblak in goal. I think when you see how
has.
Few goals Atletico Madrid have picked, he's an obvious pick. Although there were one or two other considerations from Atletico Madrid in terms of the one player from each club. I've gone for back four, and people might have to look these up. I've gone for Pedro Porro from Girona.
All right. Okay.
He was a teenager that played right wing back, right back. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be at Girona next season. I think he really impressed me this season. I think he was 18 at the start of the season, possibly 19 now. I've gone for Gené at the back for Getafe, one of the best defences in La Liga. If I had to pick one player, it would be him in the back four. I've gone for Fernando Calero of Valladolid. At centre-back.
Right, okay.
Because the reason they stayed in the division was they weren't scoring enough goals. They had a pitiful amount of goals that they scored, but they were solid at the back, and that was from week one. And it's always nice to see new players emerge in La Liga that you hadn't seen anything of before. He's a young player. It might be hard for Valladolid to keep. I think Sevilla were interested in signing him. And I've gone for left-back Jonathan Silva at Leganés. I think he's had a really good season. I think Leganés have had a really good season. And in my team, I'm picking one from each club. Some of the teams, Huesca and Rayo Vallecano, have gone down. I haven't got anyone from their team. I haven't got anyone from Real Madrid. So spreading it out, I've gone with Jonathan Silva at Leganés. So it's an unfamiliar back four, but I think, in my opinion, all good players. In midfield, I've gone for Santi Cazorla. He was an obvious pick of one of the players of the season and clearly Villarreal's best player this season. And funny enough, I've gone for Lo Celso at Real Betis. I'm not sure it's going to be defensively enough in midfield, but I'm banking on the rest of my players scoring enough goals that we're going to win more games than we lose or score more goals than the other team. So on the right flank, I've gone for Messi. On the left flank, I've gone for Iago Aspas. Up front, I've gone for Wissam Ben Yedder and Borja Iglesias. So between four attacking players, I've got 91 goals from this season. Add on Lo Celso's 9. We should be all right in terms of scoring goals.
Yeah, are you going to get enough of the ball? That's the question with your team, isn't it? Do you want the? I've compiled our contributors team. Now,
please.
There were two severe players in it. Yeah, I mean everyone did. I think everyone stuck to the rule of one player per team. But obviously, when I've compiled it, two severe players have sneaked in. So Oblak in goal. I think that was literally unanimous. Actually, I don't think anyone went for anyone other than Oblak. And then the outstanding defender. As you say, Gené is the outstanding defender, which I think probably answers the question, doesn't it, about which player Real Madrid should have a look at. Why wouldn't a bigger club go and sign Gené when he's been outstanding for two seasons, playing for Getafe, who finished fifth out of nowhere? Hermoso, alongside him in the centre of defence. Cucurella and Jesus Navas gets the right-back berth, the most mentioned. Midfield... In fact, hang on, we've got Sevilla players all over the place. Because we've got Sarabia, we've got Parejo and Santi Cazorla would be a midfield three. And then, see, I think I'm a bit more sensible than you, Terry, with this, because I've got Lo Celso up front because he got the mentions. And then, again, no surprise, Messi and Aspas. So, you know, there's no prize for guessing Messi and Aspas because, obviously, you know, it's just Messi's. We say it all the time, don't we? It's just relentlessly good all the time. All the brilliant, wonderful player. And Aspas, of course, who was just in a really poor season for Celta Vigo. He maintained his standards. And they were a different team when he was fit, when he was injured.
Totally. You look at Barcelona. No team is a one-man team, but the reliance on Messi is almost matched at Celta on the reliance of Iago Aspas. It helped they've got another striker with Maxi Gomez as well, chips in with more than his fair share. So you can clearly see why Celta struggled. They were the team at the bottom scoring those goals. Them and Levante, but both were at times horrific defensively. But Aspas clearly has to be in the team of the year. Even if we weren't picking allowed just one player from each team, I think you'd be hard-pressed not to make a case for Aspas to be in La Liga team of the season. I think he only played about, I think it's 27 games, got 20 goals for a team that weren't safe until the last day of the season. So it goes to show his influence. I had, picking from one player per team, from Sevilla, I considered Jesus Navas. I considered Sarabia as well. I considered Joan Jordan, Oyarzabal, Real Sociedad, Stuani, Iñaki Williams. And of course, Getafe, Mata, Molina. Charles Eibar finished off the season really well. He's for 46 years old. He's still knocking the goals in on a regular basis. So it was the oldies that were still finding the back of the net, you know, pretty much every week. Joaquin finished the season off well. Hermoso was in my possibles, Godin, but I went for a Black in goal from Atletico. So I couldn't consider one Real Madrid player.
No.
I couldn't.
I'm not sure anybody went for any Real Madrid players. No, certainly haven't. They didn't get anywhere close to the final call. I did write everybody down because it took me a while. Ramos gets a mention, but that I think literally might be the only Real Madrid player. Or Benzema. But yeah, you're struggling to make a case, aren't you, for Real Madrid? I mean, it's just, you know, it's not even controversial to say that. Because sometimes you're worried about upsetting fans of a club, but no one's making the case for Real Madrid this season. It's been a dreadful write-off of the season, hasn't it, for them? Callum May makes that point, by the way. He said Barcelona, Getafe benefited massively from so many others underachieving. I think that's pretty fair enough. Can I ask one last question? Taj, we'll hang this over because Taj is asking about the how does he get a game 11. I know you've done yours. Let's do that next week because we're going to do a bit of transfer speculation next week because obviously, hopefully, the ball will start rolling. We'll get somewhere with that. So we'll get on to that next week. One last question today. Brownie, lots of Spanish clubs might be looking for new managers this summer. Would La Liga benefit from an influx of foreign coaches in the same way as the Premier League has?
But it will take a while for that to happen because there's a number of reasons. I think that it seems to be an issue in Spain. They're not particularly keen on managers coming in that don't know the language. So we do get players, managers from South America, because it's natural for them to come over, speak the same language. It's quite an easy fit. Also, I think the length of contract majority of managers get in La Liga is going to be an issue. So, any manager in the Premier League, if he gets a job, he'll get a three-year contract. We're seeing Mendilibar, Eibar, performing miracles, gets renewed every year of about 3 weeks of the season to go when they know they're safe. He gets another year. So borderless. All the managers are just signed one-year deals, and that's not going to attract the likes of Jurgen Klopp and Jose Mourinho have come to the UK and to work, knowing full well the numerous managers that Chelsea have had. It's one of the biggest reasons they come. A, they're going to get paid an absolute fortune, and they get a 3 or 4 year contract. And if it doesn't work out, then there's a significant sum of money owed to them if they are sacked during that period. You're not going to get the big name, the royalty of managers go to La Liga, unless it's Real Madrid, Barca and Atletico, because they don't get long contracts as managers. Sometimes I agree with it, but I think there are managers that have proved themselves at clubs that deserve better, deserve longer contracts, but no one's forcing the managers to stay. And so Mendilibar is happy. It's how the club works. He understands that, and season in, season out, he does his job, and he knows he's going to be rewarded at the end with employment for another year. So that's just the way it works in La Liga at the moment.
We'll leave it there. So Terry, let's meet up soon, have another chat. We're not going anywhere throughout this summer. We're still going to be doing podcasts. We'll still be doing some specials and keeping you up to date with the transfers and all of that. So yes, enjoy the European finals this week. I know there's no Spanish involvement, but we'll still watch them. We'll still enjoy them. And so we'll speak soon, Terry. And thank you for listening, everybody.